In Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning is about the gift of interpretation. No, sorry all of you from Dorm D, this is not a follow-up to Dr. Scare's lecture on speaking in tongues. Nor is it a polemic against our Schwärmer brethren who advocate such activities. Rather, this is about a completely different kind of interpreting. The focus of this message is on interpreting reality. More specifically, it is focused on the type of interpreting that Jesus speaks of in Luke 12, where he says to the multitudes, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Jesus is speaking about the ability to understand what was going on when he was there on earth. He is calling upon them to interpret reality. This gift, to use the term loosely, this ability to interpret reality is something that is vital to us, who are or who will soon be God's spokesman. So let us look closely at these words where Jesus calls upon us to interpret reality. And we will have to do that daily, weekly, for those in our care. Just what is the problem that Jesus is speaking to here? He shows some righteous anger when he addresses the multitudes and says, "When you see a cloud rising in the west and you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be a scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The key word here is the Greek kairos. And considering the eschatological context of this pericope, we can see that it means time of crisis or critical time. What is Jesus asking the people to interpret here? What's happening at this particular time that he wants them to see? The Super Bowl of God's saving action was taking place right before their very eyes. Just as we look to the sky and see that a storm might be approaching, these people were to look to see what was happening with Jesus and understand that another type of storm was approaching. Just as they see signals in the sky that indicate the weather, they were to read God's signals. And what were these signals? A voice in the wilderness had prepared the way for the coming of God's kingdom. And a prophet had arisen, a great prophet who spoke with authority, who healed the blind, deaf, dumb, and lame, who multiplied loaves, turned water into wine, and raised the dead to life. This prophet proclaimed the coming of the kingdom, the now of salvation, and the advent of judgment. All these signals were present in reality to be interpreted. Were they? No. God had come to free all men from sin by walking that road to his sacrificial death in Jerusalem. God was visiting his people. He was fulfilling all of his promises and restoring his fallen creation. But the people weren't reading the signs. Yes, the Super Bowl of God's saving action was taking place right before their eyes, but they weren't tuned in. With his parable in verses 57 to 59, Jesus stresses the imminence of his judgment and the soon to take place return. The kairos had come, but the people were leaving God out of the picture. They had forgotten that the God who had begun history could also shape history and enter it. What was the problem? The people were not interpreting a very crucial part of reality. They were not interpreting God's saving activity in the world, which was taking place right before their eyes. The people were not seeing God as a part, much less the center of the very reality that he had spoken into existence. They were interpreting reality selectively, choosing not to decipher this strange phenomena, this Jesus of Nazareth. Their five senses couldn't compute that God would enter history in human flesh, that he, their Messiah, would be in such a humble form, that the end times could possibly be upon them. It didn't compute. It was all very real, but it was not being interpreted. We have that same problem. We too often limit our view of God's activity and leave it out, leave it as a past event. A recently released Gallup poll indicates that 29% of the clergy in the United States are ready to either change occupations or would like to change occupations because of job burnout or job pressures. It's very real. It hits close to home for us. I'm willing to venture that how those 29% interpret reality has much to do with their feelings. For it's so easy to allow all the sickness, the death, the divorces, the congregational meetings, the marital problems, the low salary, the lack of evangelism, the poor stewardship, the grades, the bills, to all cloud our view of reality, so that we just see it as a bunch of depressing problems that we have to try to solve, while God's saving activity is compartmentalized into a 3-minute gospel presentation each Sunday morning. It's easy to put blinders on and leave God's action out of the picture, limit our view of reality. Just talk to any SEM4. We all put on blinders each spring and limit our view of reality to the completion of a thesis and the reception of a call. Jesus called upon the crowd to interpret that critical time, to interpret his saving activity that was taking place right before their eyes. And he calls upon us, especially us, to continue to interpret his saving activity in a world so in need of it. So how do we do it? First, we do it by seeing all of reality. Reality is much more than what our five senses can take in. It involves a spiritual as well as a physical dimension, an invisible as well as a visible. The blood and body in the sacrament is just as real as the bread and the wine. The presence of God and principalities of darkness is just as real as this concrete and these pews. It is God's word where we see this hidden reality made manifest for us to understand. For in his word, we not only see death and sin and violence as we see out here, but we also, with Elisha, see the chariot and horses of fire, and with Stephen, see the Son of Man in power, and with John, see the slain lamb victorious. We see that life isn't just temporal, but eternal. No, we can't forget the physical reality where toes get stubbed, noses drip, diseases develop, and death occurs. But reality is more than this physical plane. In order to interpret reality, we need to see it all as God makes it clear in his word. Secondly, we interpret reality when we center our focus on God's saving action. Reality, all history, exists so that God can carry out his gracious purpose and restore his creation. We have many people out there who see things happen, who see a relative killed in a car crash, who see Marines being blown up in Beirut, or who see families freeze to death on Minnesota highways and conclude that God doesn't care, that he's not active. They don't see his grace in allowing this world to continue to turn. It's our job to show people that God indeed does care and that he is active right now to save and preserve us. We interpret reality when we center our focus on that event that all time points to, that critical time that is spoken of in our text, when God, as a man, entered history to save us. Why does this event merit the focus of our attention and the focus of all history? Why should it bias our view of reality? Because in Jesus Christ, God overcame all the sinful effects of human history. For us, it is an accomplished fact that Jesus withstood temptation, that he overcame the sins of all the world and suffered their punishment, and that he has risen victorious over death. God has given us this eternally significant event to which we can point people and say, look, there is God's saving action for you. The results of the fall, all of sin, have truly, really, eternally been overcome. It's as real as the defeat of Napoleon or the Dow Jones Industrial Index. We interpret reality when we focus on how these benefits that were won for us continue to become ours today, now. How through this word, that water, and the bread and the wine, we are brought into union with Christ so that all the heavenly blessings that he won, including the ability to withstand suffering, to interpret reality, to overcome death, become ours. Ours. Yes, we can't see it, but it's very, very real. We interpret reality when we focus on the consummation of God's saving activity that will take place on that last great day. That day that he warns of in our text, when he will come in judgment and grace, when we will rise restored, and when we will see all the things that he has done to save us. And those things won't need any interpretation. We interpret reality when we walk into that hospital room and see that faithful member dying from leukemia, arms scarred from numerous IVs, cheeks sunken, voice raspy. And we see a sinner that Christ died for, a new life, as vibrant as the day when the waters of baptism sprinkled his baby soft skin. When we see in such a decaying body, a body that will be perfectly restored, then we're seeing all of reality. And then we're focusing on God's saving action. This is the kind of gift of interpretation that even we Lutherans can pray for and use.